Welcome to Mindful Businesses presented by Sarani. I am your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today we have with us Kimberly McLaughlin, founder and CEO of Grant Boulevard, a sustainable brand with a mission to do what's good for people and to do what's good for our planet.
For us, it means no new waste, no new fabric waste, in particular, no new water waste. It's taking fabrics that already exist, building into the DNA of the businesses we create, equal space for people who don't even necessarily need a second chance. You know, many of them need a first chance.
Kimberly does this in Philadelphia, but joins us from a well-deserved vacation in Sevilla, Spain.
Hello. Thank you for that generous introduction and for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yes, I was reading a little bit about your background, and you grew up in Milwaukee and had the opportunity to travel all over the world. How do you think these life experiences and upbringing helped you in creating your brand, Grant Boulevard?
I think that for all of us, we all have places that have added something to our understanding of not only place in the world, but obligation. And Grant Boulevard is the story of my coming to terms with what that would mean for me. And so for me, it's living in a community on the north side of Milwaukee, which was predominantly Black, but being born into a family of parents who converted to Islam when I was about six. And we spent a lot of time in different Muslim communities. So even in my early childhood, there was always a sense of the large world. It lived in how my mom cooked when she entertained. It lived in the languages that I heard and attempted to learn in mosques, both on the north and south side of Milwaukee. And it gave for me, I think, a really deep and personal sense of not only being, but trying to be with other people and doing that in a way that I could find peace with.
So how did you come up with the name Grant Boulevard? It's an unusual name. Why not Kimberly?
I think because my in my heart of hearts, when I think about the best thing that we can do for our families and for our neighbors, is thinking about the places that we all care about and that we want to see survive. And on a very, very micro level, that's that block and that house at 2677 Grant Boulevard. And if you look at it on a macro, it's just a guiding principle, and it's shown up in my teaching. I was a classroom teacher for a pretty long time, about 17 years. It's this idea of creating community around place. And my ambition with launching this startup was to do that and to find a way of creating something replicable where we could create a sense of neighborhood and community in places where I think that there's a wonderful opportunity to bring people together.
So this was Grant Boulevard in Milwaukee, where you grew up.
Yep, Grant Boulevard, 53210.
So there is this, you talked about green collar. Is that a new concept? I'd never come across that term. What exactly is green collar?
Well, when we think about this tradition of blue collar, which is what my parents were, my parents, they met in college. They didn't finish college. They started their family in transition into working before they completed their degrees at Marquette. They moved into this interesting and I think sacred space where Americans had the opportunity to make a living wage and to raise their families and to save money and to have protected health care and time off. And that's going through an interesting period of transition. My hope for the planet is that this new wave of creating sustainable economies lives in creating jobs for people, that while giving them all of those, what I see is really actually human rights privileges, does so in a way that doesn't eat away at the planet, which for anyone who's been paying attention to science and who respects scientific minds, that's also something we have to be mindful of. So for me, green collar jobs are about a new intersection of innovation where we give people access to human rights while doing it in a way that doesn't undermine the needs of the natural world.
Tell me what exactly Grant Boulevard does. What is your mission? How is your brand different than the other sustainable, giving back to society brands?
I think one of the things that makes Grand Boulevard beautifully unique is not just the way that we source, which if I just pause for that a little bit, for us, that means no new waste, no new fabric waste, in particular, no new water waste. It's taking fabrics that already exist, sourcing them from thrift stores, from consignment shops, and then taking those garments, typically those garments that are actually gendered for male bodies, when we think about male, how design has gendered clothing, and creating garments, at least in this iteration of the company in this point, because this isn't, you know, when I think about the long term, the brand will evolve. But where we are right now, and what I hope to actually keep as a staple in our collections moving forward, are garments that always kind of take back things that belong to men and reimagine them for women. So when it comes to the design aesthetic, that's a part of what we do. And then when we think about how we do that, I think the other thing that makes Grand Boulevard unique is what we've been building is a team of makers through a fellowship program in partnership with local nonprofits, which teaches women who have an experience with incarceration how to sew. That's like, we'll do that 4 days a week between the sewing instruction and the application of the skills that they've been working to develop. And then another day is working towards some life skills. So while my ambition for the company is to serve as an employer, particularly of women who have been purposefully marginalized, it is also to give some of the soft skills that so many of us, I think, we take for granted. And I should say, let me back up a little bit. So many of us who have that access to those life skills quietly embedded into our daily lives and the fabric of our family dynamics, regardless of their dysfunction, their levels of dysfunction, there are these soft skills that I think we are all made stronger by. I know I personally have been made stronger by, which for me have lived in yoga and meditation and thinking about what I eat and when I eat and what my relationship to food is. So there are, and how do I bank and how do I maintain a bank account? What do I understand about credit? So there are all these things when we talk about marginalized communities, particularly those that are Black and brown in the story of America, where those skills just aren't really taught. And I'm really excited about creating a company that exists to give those kind of like industrial skills, but also the skills that make for a happy, self-sufficient living.
So what are the products that you make? I saw some t-shirts on your website, some sweatshirts. What, and are they, you said they are gender neutral, right?
Well, the t-shirts and the sweatshirts are, that's definitely a part of the intention. And so we started with a t-shirt. Well, it's hard to say at this point. We kind of started, I actually, at some of the reclaimed garments. That was the first thing we produced for a crowdfund reward that we ran about a little bit more than a year ago now, about 15 months ago. And then as I grew capacity and started working with more skilled designers, it became transitioning from not just offering the reclaimed garments, but also trying to figure out how we could communicate our values in a way that was just kind of on trend and fresh and honest about cash bail and about mass incarceration, about feminism. And that's something I'm really excited about playing with more and more. While I have an amazing talent and the woman who's right now serving as a director of design and production, I get to kind of show my stamp on things a little more explicitly in how we approach t-shirt design. So we are very careful about sourcing garments, fabric that are in like really good or even excellent condition, and that so many of the things we donate to these thrift stores are actually brand new, and then putting a new lease on life on them. That's what we do. We reimagine things.
So you mainly get these raw materials and fabrics and clothes from thrift stores?
Yes, that's where we, in this iteration, that's where we get them from. There are a number of fabrics that I think there's a pretty sound body of research that they have some reduced negative impact on the planet in terms of how they're grown and how much fertilizer they require, how much water they require to use. And I'm excited about moving into those fabrics as we, you know, we're always, and I think this is just what I'm learning about business, is that we're always thinking about how we can raise more capital, either through sales or through just investment opportunities. And so we're looking forward to figuring out how we can continue that balance, getting that balance right, so we can start to play in ways that we can do things that are, you know, one of a kind. Yes, we'll keep some of those in the collection because those are fun and funky and fresh, but also some small batch pieces that can be more easily replicated.
Since you're in West Philly and so close to University of Pennsylvania and pretty close to Drexel, what happens every year when the kids move out and they throw out so many of their clothes which are barely used? Is there a way you can try to capitalize on that?
I think there may be some potential for that, for sure. I know that there are a couple of nonprofits in the city who work to create essentially interview closets for students who are going off to work. And you know, who are looking for interviews, and that's what they do in terms of partnering with students to collect things. And this, I think that there's a lot of potential there. On the other end, we have to be careful about the legalities of working in the for-profit space and then transitioning to doing something that sounds a little bit more in the non-profit realm. So I'm definitely, that's on my radar, something that we like to play with in the future. It's just figuring out the logistics around how we can do that legally and then how we can do that, you know, just efficiently. But yeah, you're absolutely right. So many of us, it's in our culture to consume, and we buy more than we need and more than we can actually store. And that ends up in landfills. And I'm always excited about opportunities to reduce landfill waste, particularly when it comes to things that are completely salvageable.
So all your products are made in Philadelphia by the women that you train to sew, and it's created by your creative team. Is that correct?
So right now, everything is created completely in Philadelphia. All manufacturing is done in Philadelphia. Nothing is outsourced, which I think there are a lot of brands who really position themselves to be ethical, and they still rely a lot on exploitation of people of color overseas. And I'm not interested in that. So I'm really interested, as I said earlier, just kind of creating a workforce, developing a workforce of people who already have clear talents and just need some opportunity and some skill development to get them to the place where they can do that. So as I think we're going into maybe 2 weeks ago, we did our first round of interviews, which is incredibly exciting, of women who we're going to bring into our first makers class. So we have, like, as I said, I think I said this, we have a really just innovative, open-minded partner in the nonprofit world, a few of them actually in the Philadelphia landscape, who are partnering with us in making sure that this project works. And then we're relying on the immense talent of a woman who's on faculty at Drexel University to lead our instructional program. So it's a beautiful synergy of business and academia, and then, you know, local, just people, grassroots people who are like doing the work every day of figuring out how to support people who have been really in ways kind of left behind.
I was impressed that you carry from an extra small to a size zero, rather, to double X. Talk about that. Is that part of your mission, to have the clothes accessible, you know, regardless of your size? And not, it's all about equality, right?
It is. And actually, it's about love. Like, I love women who look all kinds of ways. I love people who identify as women, people who just like women's clothing, who have all kinds of body types. And so when I think about the women who are in my circle, the idea that, you know, that half of them or a third of them couldn't show up for me or couldn't access the things that I'm creating because I've purposely kind of either ignored them or seen them as, or just haven't seen them. It's not even conceivable to me. So it's, and that way it's not, and don't get me wrong, like there are people from just a business perspective, all consumers, we all look so different. So the idea of just like turning a blind eye to that doesn't make sense for me. I'm a really petite woman. I'm 5'2", I weigh about 110 pounds. But members of the creative team behind the scenes, they're not all like me. They're each their own wave. And I think that we do a better job of making sustainability accessible when we make it inclusive. But so when we think about size inclusivity, that's something we're definitely mindful of. The other way that I'm trying to be mindful in terms of the approach that I'm taking as we make decisions, even about pricing, is that sustainability has to be affordable.
I was wondering how you reach your target customers, because I brought up your brand to my daughter who went to school in West Philadelphia, and she hadn't heard about it. And she's is so cool. It's just totally up my alley. Yes. And I was like, how come you haven't heard about her?
So yeah, I think in part it's because we're new. And I think that's a learning curve. But one, I would love to talk to her and tell her about what we're doing. And she is absolutely the target demographic. I've been speaking a lot more at Temple. Temple students, Temple professors asked me to come probably in this last year. I've maybe spoken at Temple maybe four times. I've been at Drexel probably twice. So I haven't been to UPenn yet. So UPenn is, I would absolutely love to be there. If you were to ask me, where would I love to have Grant Boulevard when we land? It actually is in West Philly near UPenn. So you should, you know, hook us up. We'll touch bases and I will tell her everything she and her crew needs to know about Grant Boulevard.
So you mentioned about your prices and they are reasonable. How do you manage to keep the prices so tight, like so low, not low, but accessible?
Yeah, it's just been about trying to figure out. And you know, so it's very interesting. I think that when we think about business models, it's about how do we get to the point where the people who we're targeting feel like they can engage. And I think that because we think about women between the ages of 22 and 32, what market research says about them, they're interested in sustainability. They're just coming out of college. And so they can't afford to pay $500 for a dress. But there is a market for women who are interested in sustainability and can afford that. And